I hope you can read this. Is that okay? Can you read that? Okay. Now, we're all going to read what's in blue, okay? But then there's going to be Samuel who comes up, and there's going to be God, and there's going to be Eli. So I need a Samuel. Who can be Samuel? Someone's just going to flick on to the next one for me for a minute. So Samuel will be in red, and God will be in brown. And then the next one for a minute. Or is it, and Eli is in purple. So who's going to be Samuel? We've got a Samuel here. Who's going to be God? Let's have a female voice for God. Go on. Come on. Excellent. Thank you. And who's going to be Eli? Thank you. Can we stand, please? And we'll read the Bible reading together. It's a very familiar passage, and I hope you can read it on the screen. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of the Lord had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered.
Here I am.
And he ran to Eli and said.
Here I am. You called me.
But Eli said.
I did not call. Go back and lie down.
So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called.
Samuel.
And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said. Eli said,
I did not call. Go back and lie down.
Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called.
Samuel.
And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said,
Here I am. You called me.
Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel,
Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.
So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times.
Samuel, Samuel.
And Samuel said,
Speak, for your servant is listening.
Amen. Please be seated. I'd invite you to just watch a little video. Should be a bar on the bottom, James. Yep, that's it. Did you get that? The lady in the blue is the Reverend Sue Myatt, and Sue is the first deaf Baptist minister. So watch, when I say deaf, people think I said deaf Baptist minister. And Sue is part of our HEBA team. She works with us one day a week. She also works with the Baptist Union of Great Britain, promoting work with deaf people. And then she works for Rising Brook Baptist Church and the deaf worshipping community that they have there. Sue has taught me so much about listening. Because when Sue's in the room, we've got to be very careful that we don't over-talk to one another, because a signer will quickly tell us off, because she can't connect in the same way that we would connect. So in some ways, if we're hearing people, we can almost multi-listen. We can phase out of that conversation and phase into another. Well, Sue can't do that. So there has to be one conversation, and we have to be quiet while one person speaks and while the signer interprets it for Sue, and then Sue will respond. But she's taught me an awful lot about how we need to really listen and focus down and listen. She's taught me that there's more to listening than words. Oh, I knew about body language. We know that so much of what we actually say is in body language. But when you're working with a deaf person, and some of you may have had that experience, there's so much more to learn about listening. So how are you at listening? How good are you at listening? How good are you at listening to loved ones after a day's work? When you come home and you're listening to what the kids have been doing at school and you're bringing your own things from your workday life, how good are you at listening? How good are you at listening to the Sunday sermon? At what point do you switch off? Look at your watch now. Okay. See how long it takes you before you look at it again and think, right, that was about 5 minutes and I switched off, you know. Just do an exercise for yourself. When, at what point do you stop listening? Is it 5 minutes, 15 minutes? Is it 40 minutes? And how good are you at listening to God? I have friends who regularly write sermons in coffee shops. They take their iPads and their laptops and they rush off to Costa or Cafe Nero or Starbucks or one of those multi-million pound businesses, and they believe that God speaks to them writing their sermon in a coffee shop, because they're surrounded by life, people coming in and out, and they can people watch, and somehow that inspires them. It doesn't inspire me, and how they can do that is beyond me. But in that hectic environment, they believe that God is there. Well, yes, of course he is. I have another friend who's a university lecturer who suffers or is on the Asperger's spectrum. And he says that he listens best with heavy metal music going on in the background. Now, if you can respond to that, great. But that would just do my head in. I couldn't possibly do that. But can you listen and multitask? Some can and some can't. This morning, then, we explore this familiar narrative of the boy, Samuel, and the wise old priest, Eli. It's a lesson of listening, a lesson of responding, a lesson of humility, and a lesson in enabling others to hear. So Samuel, what do we know about Samuel? The funny thing is, I think in the Bible, we know more about Samuel than probably anybody else, because we know about Samuel from before he was born to when he died. Now, we know about Christ in the same way, but Samuel's life was longer than the life of Christ. He lived for more than 33 years. We don't know exactly how many years he lived, but we know it was more than that. So we have this kind of span of his whole life from birth through to death. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, we find Hannah, his mother, broken-hearted and childless and weeping in the sanctuary. You know the story, I'm sure. Eli sees her and thinks, oh, she's drunk. What's this drunk woman doing in the temple? Get rid of her. And then tunes in. Samuel's life starts with Eli listening to the cries of her heart and hearing her heartbreak. We know Samuel's mum. We know that his father was called Elkanah. We know that they lived in Ramathaim, districts of Zuph, and that they were there together when Hannah went home, and there they conceived their son. We know that Hannah had promised to give her son to Eli, to present him in the temple as a Nazarite so he could be raised there in the temple. We know that when he was born, she had this amazing prayer of praise. Hannah's Magnificat, if you like, that Mary's song of praise when she heard about her baby, it sort of resonates with Hannah's prayer. My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There's no one like you, Lord. There's no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. And she goes on to celebrate this forthcoming birth of Samuel. From time to time, after she'd taken him to the temple, and just for a moment, let's pause and think how difficult that must have been, when you've longed for a child and then you're handing him over the moment he's weaned into the temple courts. But she handed him over, and we know from the scripture that she went to visit him and she was there for him. But the boy grew and had a powerful ministry. He became judge over Israel at a time when the nation needed guidance. It was Samuel who the nation cried out to, "Give us a king like every other nation." And it was Samuel who went to God and said, "Oh, they want a king." And God said, "No, surely not." And there was this conversation that went on between them. And Samuel went back and said, "You don't need a king, you've got God." But they said, "No, we need a king." And so Samuel and God said together, "Give them a king." And it was Samuel who found Saul. And it was Samuel who anointed David. And that wonderful story about when Samuel goes to the household and says, "You know, one of your sons, let me see all your sons." And David's brothers are processed before him. And he says, "No, there must be one more. There must be another." And the news is, "Well, yes, there's the boy in the field with the sheep." And Samuel said, "I will not sit down until that boy is here." And David comes. And Samuel anoints Israel's best king. Samuel grew up to be a prophet, a judge, and a priest in Israel. Yet today, we kind of see the prequel, if you like, the backstory behind this great man of faith. This young boy who had just arrived in the temple and whom God called by name. In our reading today, he's just a small boy. We don't know how old. I wonder how old you think he is. Maybe 5, 6. 7 is almost a significant age, isn't it? 7 years old, maybe. Who knows how old he was? But he encounters God calling him. In those days, the Bible reading says, the word of the Lord was rare and visions were not widespread. Well, I want to say that's probably a bit like today, that the word of the Lord is rare. And visions are not widespread. I don't know when the last time anyone shared a vision with you. It's not often that I hear people speak about visions. And sometimes it does seem like the word of the Lord is rare when we think about the slides that Jean put for us and we focus on those things. We want to hear God's word, and it's difficult. Yes, the word of the Lord appears to be rare, and visions are not widespread in our world today. In this account, God speaks to Samuel 4 times. But this was all new to him, and he hadn't got a clue what was happening. But he knew he trusted Eli, and he ran to Eli again and again and again. I want to say to you that those of you who are often disturbed by small children in the night, remember the patience of Eli when Samuel came in again and again and again. Eli was a great friend to Samuel, as well as like a foster dad. He was there for him. He coped with this persistent child with grace and patience and wisdom. "Go and lie down and say, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" In 1 Samuel 3, the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a new thing in Israel, at which both ears of everyone who hears will tingle." When God speaks to Samuel, he gives him a message for Eli. How weird was that? Why didn't he just give the message to Eli? Well, because there was something here about a change in generation. In these few verses, we catch a glimpse of the relationship between an elderly priest and a young boy. In these verses, we see kind of a shifting of power from an older generation to a younger generation. God speaking to a new generation. Friends, can God speak through the children of this church to us? Does he? Are we listening? In my role as regional minister, I deal with many situations, some of which are extremely petty, but one of the ongoing ones, and I won't tell you where it is about a cross-generational problem. Because the older generation are fed up with the younger generation because they don't show respect in church that they would like them to. And one of them, are you ready for this, came to church in roller skates. But this is a massive problem. This has potential to cause huge problems. So it's my job to say, but God speaks through a new generation who see things differently, who are seeing God and the church in a different way. Let's not lose them. Let's treasure them. How can we listen to them? How can we speak to them in truth? In Eli and Samuel, then, was this cross-generational ministry, the young and old working together, enabling one another to serve, to hear from God, to minister to others. How I'd love to see this in our churches. We had something great at my last church, and I do miss it. I love this job, but I miss church ministry. And one of the things that we used to do at Leytonstone was we had something at Christmas where we had lots of older folks who came and had a Christmas dinner, but the year sixes from the local primary school used to come in and they would help cook the meal, they would serve the tables, there would just be this real cross-generational day together, which was great fun, and then they would sing to the older folks. And friendships were made. People would talk to me later about, oh, I saw that girl on the underpass and she spoke to me. Or the schools would contact and say, that gentleman who spoke about his experience during the war, do you think he'd come into school and speak to us? Particularly those who'd been sent away. What's the word when you send children away during the war? Evacuated, thank you. Particularly those stories they wanted to hear. And these links from that event helped form relationships. Friends, within a Baptist church, we exercise and believe the priesthood of all believers, young and old, male and female, regardless of wealth, learning and ability, believing that God can and does use each of us. When we say, speak, Lord, we're listening. I love reading scripture through the St. Ignatius lens. For those of you who know anything about Ignatian spirituality, invites you to find yourself in scripture. So the characters who are involved in scripture, how do they resonate with me? What's God saying to me about them? And there's two main characters in this story. There's Samuel and there's Eli. So am I like Eli? Eli was an old man. His sight was failing, yet he remained faithful. He was not beyond taking the boy Samuel under his wing. We don't know whether Samuel was the only one or whether there were more Nazarite boys at that time. But Eli loved God with all his heart. He had a task of guarding the Ark of the Covenant in the temple. The Ark of the Covenant, which was the presence of the living God among the people. We know that from the wanderings through the desert where the Ark was carried, how God was in the ark, and the ark was that visible presence to them of God's companionship on the journey. But here we find that Eli is growing older. He's faithful and diligent, a man of grace and patience, and a man who listened to what Samuel had to say the next day. Can you see yourself in the attributes of Samuel? Samuel's task at this later stage of his life was to enable, Eli's task, sorry, was to enable Samuel to listen to God, to guide him on how to respond and listen. When Samuel wasn't sure what was happening, who was speaking, what was going on in these dark moments, it was Eli who had the wisdom to say, actually, go back and lie down because it's God who's speaking to you. Friends, one thing I love about Bromsgrove Baptist Church, have you looked at your watch yet? One thing I love about Bromsgrove Baptist Church is the kids here, the children that we've got. We are so blessed with the children we have here. But how are you enabling them to listen to God? How are you enabling them to hear from God in a world where the word of God is rare and visions are rare? How are we enabling them to listen? It's your job. It's not just the folks who have them now out there at the back for J Team. It's our corporate responsibility to enable them to hear from God. We are called to be like Eli and to be an example to them of how God is speaking. Think about one child for a moment who's out the back, or maybe not here this morning. Just think about one child and ask yourself, how can I help them to listen? How can I be Eli to them? How does my life show God to them? Sometimes I think it means going out of our way to think, well, you know, I'll write them a letter or I'll do something to encourage them. Remember when I was in Sunday school, my Sunday school superintendent, well, I was a Salvationist, so he was called my young people sergeant major, wrote me a letter one day to say, Alison, praying for you. Do you know, it blew me away. Just blew me away. He was praying for me. Why would he pray for me? My daughter said to me not long ago, no one writes letters anymore. I'm going to challenge you there. Maybe there's something about encouraging one another, being Eli to one another, and helping the younger generation to hear from God. I don't think they'll ever forget it. Wouldn't it be wonderful then if this cross-generational ministry was the story of every church? That kind of encouraging was exercised within each church. And there was a spirit of acceptance that God speaks to us all, whether we're young or we're old. That God can call on us at any time of our lives. No matter where we are in our journey, we just have to encourage each other to listen and then be willing to listen to what's been said. Sadly for many, it's the fact that for older people, where hearing gets difficult. So be encouraged that God speaks to a younger generation whose ears are open and they're ready to listen. Baptist church meetings are based around listening. Why do I love being a Baptist? I love church meetings, says she who missed the last one. Sorry about that. But the idea that God speaks to us at church meeting, that God gives wisdom to all of us and together we hear from him through that shared experience, I think is wonderful than someone coming in lording it over with, thus saith the Lord. We have a high calling to enable one another to hear from God, to see God, to find God, to know God, to serve him. That ministry of encouragement that happens particularly here within these four walls, but yet beyond. Eli had lessons to teach us, but so does Samuel. So what can we learn from Samuel? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Someone once said, the problem with listening is we listen to reply and not to understand. I'm going to say that again. We listen to reply and not to understand. I've got to challenge myself sometimes when I'm listening to people and suddenly I think, oh, that resonates with something. I'm now going to share my story, thinking, woman, shut up. They don't want that. They just want you to listen. Their story is what they need you to hear right now. Yes, there's times for empathy, but sometimes there's time to understand and to listen. Samuel had someone who he could run to for clarification and direction. Someone who was there for him, even in the middle of the night. Someone who was there 24/7. Who do you go to when you don't know what's going on? Who do you go to who you know will listen and help you to understand God better? One of the things that I challenge ministers with often is the need for mentors, the need for spiritual direction, the need to have your life held to account. But it's not just ministers, it's all of us. We all need someone to pull us into line sometimes and say, oh, really? Did you mean that? Or, you know, should we pray about that? Or let's just have a coffee and I'll listen. Eli tells Samuel how to respond, how to acknowledge God's presence, and how to listen. Often our prayer time, my prayer time, is full of words. I use my daily reading and I reflect on the few verses and the Bible passages. Then I enter into my usual ramblings to God about the children and about work and about me and about the world. And then before I know it, I'm in the car driving to work with Radio 2 on listening to Chris Evans, and it's gone. When has there been time to listen? When has there been time to listen? In our busy lives, we need to learn what Samuel learnt, that sometimes we just need to lie down and say, speak. I'm listening. It's good to seek silence, but in our crazy lives, silence doesn't often exist. Because there's noise now, but I don't mind. But silence is difficult to find. But as I often say to my church, and I'll say to you, silence is really the absence of noise that we make. Quietening our own hearts and minds so that we become aware of God in our breathing, in our heartbeat, in the stillness of the rhythm of our bodies. That's the silence I think we need to find. Centering down on God is a gift. Recognizing that He's with us is precious. In recent days, I've had too much time to listen. More time than I wanted, really, if I'm honest with you. Time to be quiet and ponder. Time to watch daytime television. Oh, that's a drag. But there was one day when I was lay in the Worcester Royal Hospital. It was chemo 2, which was horrendous. And I thought I was dying. And I was lay in Worcester Royal Hospital. And I cried out to God, I want my normality back. I don't want this. I want my normality back. And in the silence of lying there in Silver Ward, God said to me, Alison, welcome to normality. For thousands of people, right here, right now. I get it, Lord. In those moments of desperation, often God speaks, and in a way we don't want to hear. I wanted to be transformed out of the situation I was in and healed, and the healing journey was longer than that. Friends, sometimes it takes tragedy to get us to the point of we're listening. Let's not wait for the tragedy. Let's build listening in as part of our rhythm of life. We need that rhythm of listening. The rhythm of listening which makes our lives questionable to other people. Time to listen to God. Time to listen to God in one another. God can speak to us at any time. Like Samuel, when he lay down in bed, He can speak to us as we're going about our daily work. I have many friends who pray to God as they're driving along in the car. We just need to find that place that works for us. Let's move back to Sue Myatt for a minute. Listening as she watches the movements and expressions of others. For us too, listening is more than words. God speaks to us through His creation, through music, through human love, through friendship. We need to find those ways to listen so God can speak. It was St. Ignatius that said that we often need to stop and just pick a leaf and look at the veins on a leaf and see the wonder of God in something so simple. As we become more aware of God, we see and hear Him in every leaf, in every sunset, in every relationship, in every moment. Aren't we blessed to have Paul? God speaks through Paul many times, and I thank God for him and his obedience to the word. Jean started by bringing us to Psalm 139, and I want to come back to there and pick up at verse 7, and this is from the Message. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I fly on the wings of the morning to the far western horizon, you'll find me in a minute. You're there waiting for me. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, it's like light to him. In fact, darkness isn't dark to you at all. Night and day, darkness and light, they're just the same to you, Lord. Oh yes, you shaped me first, inside then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. Thank you, God. You're breathtaking. David, the psalmist, knew that wherever he went, God could speak to him, God could reach him. The boy Samuel could not have imagined what God had in store for him on that night when he ran into Eli 3 times. But God had plans for his life. What plans has God got for our children's lives? What plans has God got for us? Lord, make us like Samuel, able to listen. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 29, it says, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We need to practice listening. Let's take some moment now to listen to God. I'm going to invite him to speak to each of us. I'd invite you to listen in the silence, knowing, as I say, that silence is an absence of the noise that we make. A slide going to come up with some questions here, just to ponder as we listen. Lord, speak to us. Bring to our minds the children we need to be Eli to. Bring to our hearts the things we need to hear from you today. Bring to our bodies peace and rest as we listen for your Spirit. Today, Lord, we have ears, and we do not harden our hearts. Let's just take a few moments to reflect on those things. Lord, help us to listen to you. Help this listening to continue this day, this week, and for the rest of our lives so that we hear your voice. And in Lord, when we don't hear from you, may we listen to your word in others, what they have to say to us, how we can hear you in them. Lord, in this time of year where the sun is shining brightly and the creation is stunning around us, may we hear from you in those things. May we be ever assured of your love and your mercy. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Amen.